magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 390, recording on Friday, March 1st, at about 3 p.m. Central Time. I'm Eli, and with me is Jared. This podcast is brought to you by TouchArcade.com. It's primarily supported by Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/TouchArcade. Or if you do any shopping on Amazon, we'd appreciate it if you would do it through TouchArcade.com/Amazon. With that, I was just telling Jared, we gotta hurry this shit up, because I got stuff to do for my birthday today. Birthday was actual technical birthday was yesterday. And to answer your question, no, I am not one of those people that does the birthday week or birthday weekend or birthday month.
Birthday year.
Birthday year. No, I had Lindsay and I have a friend who like made a big deal about how they were doing like a birthday month, and that was the thing. It was like, why don't you just make it a birthday year? Idiot.
Just never stop.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. I I've always been pretty down on attending live podcasts because, but in my defense, like the live podcasts that I've had the opportunity to go to are like tech podcasts at, you know, tech events. And those are like the kind of podcasts that like, if I listen to, they're like background noise while I wash dishes or, you know, like, or something else is going on that, you know, I just kind of like basically where I would listen to like talk radio. Like, I don't like actively like, I'm like, oh yeah, let me listen to like what's going on in This Week in Tech kind of thing, you know?
Right.
So the ones that we've gone to, I've been pretty much dragged to, and they were just like, I'm not going to name the podcast, but it was, very boring.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the second or third year in a row we went, and everyone left early.
Yeah.
And I think actually this last WWDC when we did this, like I put my foot down. I was like, I'm just not going to this. Like, remember? Everyone was like, oh, yeah, come on, you're not going to come to this podcast thing? No, every year it's terrible. Every year we leave early. Every year it's really hot. The beers are expensive. Everything sucks.
I think you ran off and rode Lime scooters all over town.
Yeah, I rode Lime scooters with Amanji Keith, and we got ice cream.
That sounds like way
and then, more. And I remember we met up, and they were like, and everyone was like, oh, you guys were riding scooters and got ice cream? That sounds way cooler.
Yeah.
So yeah, today I am going to see the Doughboys, which is like one of my favorite podcasts right now. It's a couple of like L.A. Comedians that I guess are pretty big in like the sketch comedy writing world or whatever, that have a podcast where they podcast kind of like split in half. They get a guest every week or multiple guests, and like the first half is like them talking about like whatever, like just bullshitting about whatever project they're working on, which is usually like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm, you know, some person you never heard of with a Netflix series or other stuff like that. And then the second half is they go to chain restaurants and review them. Which sounds super stupid, but it's way more entertaining than you would think.
That sounds awesome.
And they've recently like gotten popular enough that they're like touring now, which seems to be like the what you do in podcast land is like you gain an audience and then you do live shows because people will pay. So I bought tickets to both shows tonight, so 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And I was only able to get one VIP ticket for $50, and then the other tickets were $25 a piece.
Goodness.
So I'm into this for $125.
So who gets to sit VIP? You?
Yeah, me. Lindsay doesn't even care. Like, she doesn't.
Lindsay's just gonna be sitting by herself somewhere.
Yeah, she's like, I got my Switch. I don't really don't care. I'll just sit in the back. So yeah, it'll be me fanning out, taking a selfie, getting autographs while Lindsay plays Diablo on her Switch, which
That's cool.
She's probably more than happy to do. What's going on in Jared land?
Well, I had adventures in home ownership this week. Oh, yeah. We discovered a water leakage issue in my living room. I have hardwood floors, but I have one room in the entire house that has carpet in it. And it's right in front of our front window and butts up against the driveway. And apparently there's a leak in the edge of my house that's letting water in, and it soaked itself into the carpet right in front of that window, and it's like sopping wet. I went and got a shop vac and sucked a bunch of the water out, 8 gallons and counting. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I was kind of looking on Nextdoor see if people had been having water issues with all the rain we've had and stuff. And come to learn that like a normal thing for foundations and driveways and stuff is just when the water gets really into the dirt and the dirt gets really saturated, that like, you know, changes in elevation to your driveway is something that can happen. Mm. And so I think this is an issue we've never noticed before. A, because we haven't really had that much continuous rain. It rained really hard for like 3 days straight. And then I actually think our driveway's angle has kind of tilted back towards the house a little bit. So it's not running down the driveway as much as it used to. It's kind of pooling up where that wall is or whatever. So,
well, if all that's happening, if your problem is because of a driveway grade, that's easy to fix. I got my driveway, they call it mud jacking. They like drill holes and then like hydraulically pump like new concrete under to like raise it up. Yeah. It was not that expensive. And like a really, like, because my driveway has been super janky for the longest time. Like last summer, I was like, man, this like is like a tripping hazard. I need to do something about it. And like, dudes came out and fixed it in like an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I would have done this years ago if I would have known this was so easy.
Yeah. The killer part is that, like, I mean, it's probably like half an inch that would make the difference. You know what I mean? It's not like it needs a whole lot of love.
Yeah.
But, and it might even just be fine after all the rain stops or something. I don't know.
Well, the dudes that came to do it at my house, if I recall correctly, charged like per hole they have to dig. Like, so they'll like look at your slabs and be like, all right, well, to like get this one even, we need to drill like all four corners and one in the middle. So that'll be like, I don't even remember how much it was, but like, if you just need them to do like one hole in the corner and like jack that up half an inch, like that's probably like you're basically just paying for them to come out.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That sucks though. I battled water for the longest time in my house, and it's like the least fun thing is when water is like, that's what people don't tell you about homeownership until you own a house. Like, I feel like 90% of homeownership is making sure water is coming out where it's supposed to and going where it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Pretty much.
But that's just like, that area of your house is just carpet on concrete, right? It's not like your floors are fucked up or anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, well, I mean, I guess that's as good as
it could be. Worse, I think my main concern is that it doesn't mold.
You should go and I bought a blower fan when I was having problems in the basement. It was like maybe like $50, you know, like one of those that it's got like the big blower motor in it, and then like the outlet is like this little like slant that just like blows flat across the floor.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool because like when I was having a lot of water problems, it was like, if it was leaking slowly, like the fan could almost keep it dry, which was kind of surprising. So
maybe looking at that.
But yeah, I don't know. If you want to hear a heartwarming tale of local drama that happened this week.
Sure.
So I guess Walmart, and we're getting kind of off the beaten path here, but whatever. But I guess I just read this news story like just before we started recording, and I was like, oh, that's nice, it has a happy ending. So I guess Walmart is phasing out like the Walmart greeter person. And I don't know what they're doing next. Like, someone was saying that like they're just going to replace like all those greeters with like more cameras or something like that, that like, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but like, you know, Walmart always has like the old person that's like, or the handicapped person that's like, hey, welcome to Walmart or whatever.
Yeah.
So for like 20 years now, there's been this dude that has pretty advanced cerebral palsy that has been like the Walmart greeter at like to the point that like everyone knows who he is, like everyone says hi to him, like he remembers everyone, because, you know, it's like just a cool dude, right? And when they announced this, like, that was the news story, is like, this guy was going to lose his job of like 20 years because Walmart was getting rid of greeters. And like, man, you want to talk about a local social media explosion? Like, it was crazy. I have never seen people come out of the woodwork for like a weird corporate decision like imagine. They did for this dude that everyone said hi to for like the last two decades.
Wow.
So good news is they're going to keep him on.
Oh, good. Just him or?
I don't know. Like, well, that's probably the shitty side of the story, right? It's just right. Like, oh, we'll keep the greeters, but only the people, they're only the ones that are able to get a huge social media outcry surrounding.
Right.
But anyway, you might think that this is a home improvement live podcast critique, Walmart corporate news podcast, but you would actually not entirely be correct because we also talk about phones and mobile games. So why don't we kick off this week's podcast by talking about the various phones that got revealed at Mobile World Congress.
Yeah.
This year. So if you're not familiar with Mobile World Congress, it's like, I don't know, like CES has been really big into like mobile technology, but I feel like CES also has like TVs and, you know, like all sorts of gizmos and gadgets. Whereas like Mobile World Congress, like, is exclusively cell phone and cell phone technology. Like I guess this year there's a lot of like, everything was all about 5G. And some of these new phones, and like, so there's been rumors brewing for a while that Samsung was going to release this folding phone, which they finally actually showed off at Mobile World Congress. So it's called the Galaxy Fold. And I would think that most people that follow phone stuff has seen a picture of this by now, but if you haven't, just imagine like a Choco Taco but in phone form.
Kinda.
So when you fold it in half, it's got a 4.6 inch screen on the front, or like, I guess what would be the front. And when it's folded in half, it seems like it's about the thickness of like, I don't know, it looked like maybe an iPhone and a half or something like that. Like not like super duper thick, but definitely like not as skinny as, you know, your typical phone, because it's got, you know, a lot of screen stuff in it. So when you fold it out, like, so imagine like spreading the Choco Taco apart. Inside is a 7.3 inch like square aspect ratio screen. Which seems pretty, and this phone's gonna cost like $2,000.
Yeah,
which is kind
of crazy. I guess I like the general idea, and that this is the sort of thing that it's gonna take a while to get the right sort of form factor. Yeah. But I'm not crazy. I don't like how the phone is when it's folded up. I don't like the size that it seems like it is. It seems too tall and skinny. And then my major issue with these so far is that I've seen some of the videos where they're using them, and when they're folded out to like the tablet size, it's almost like the screen isn't quite flat.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. You know what I mean? Like if you unfolded a book, like the binding would be like popping up or whatever. And so I think they've like tried to sort of mitigate that with whatever they're doing, but you can still kind of see that the screen isn't totally like tight and flat like a glass screen that you're used to. It looks like plasticky and maybe a little ripply.
Yeah.
And that would just drive me crazy.
Well, it makes me wonder if, because like, so if the screen needs to be flexible, obviously, for it to fold, does that mean the softer material is going to be like super duper scratchy?
I would think so.
Like, if so, is it going to be like one of those kind of things where it's like, you do the front pocket wallet thing, right?
No, I'm a back pocket.
Oh, well, I don't know. Like, for whatever reason, it seems like my stuff in my back pocket wallet would stay like reasonably clean and stuff. But like with how often I'm like sticking my hands and like with my keys in my pocket and stuff, like I've noticed that like credit cards in my front pocket just are like always like wearing down, just kind of like grinding up against each other with like, you know, like whatever tiny bit of dirt, like gets in your pocket and stuff, just from like day-to-day stuff. So what I'm wondering with this is like, is that going to be an issue with the way that these screens fold in on themselves?
Yeah.
Like, you know, are you going to have like, just like pocket junk?
Yeah.
Like just grinding between the two screens and creating like a big mark and on your $2,000 phone.
Maybe. I mean, it's those are the sort of things that I'm interested to see if anybody's thought about. The other weird thing about this particular one, you're looking at the Hawaii.
Yes. Well, no, this is so, yeah.
Or the Galaxy Fold.
The Galaxy Fold is what I'm looking at right now. But so the Hawaii Mate X, I think, is actually the better design of the two.
Yeah, same.
So the Galaxy Fold, so if you imagine like the Choco Taco analogy again, like the screen is on the inside of the taco.
Mm-hmm. The big screen.
The big screen, and then there's a secondary screen on the outside, whereas the Hawaii Mate X is like the opposite. It's like the screen is on the outside of the taco shell, and when you have it in, like, you know, candy bar mode or whatever you want to call, like, the, you know, the...
When it's folded.
When it's folded, it's the same screen, but it just, like... I've saw some demos where, like, both sides were doing shit.
I mean, I could see that. It would know that it's folded, and then it could, you know, present the front screen as, like, a normal phone screen and then do stuff on the back, too, I guess, if you needed it to.
I feel like I
I think that's interesting.
I feel like I saw a video, or I don't know if this was just a concept image or something I saw, but it was like the front was like a normal like lock screen with a clock and stuff like that, and the back was like a full like list of your notifications and other stuff like that, which seemed pretty cool. So I think that the Mate X is probably the better design of the two, because Samsung's like dual screen thing just seems to add an extra layer of complication to a design that's like already super complicated.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm really, this one also has this like actual like little physical clip to keep it, folded. Like, mm-hmm. So if you imagine again, the taco shell thing, if they're like one of the sides of the taco shell had like an extra ridge in it that folds into that ridge. So it's like when it folds is flush, and then that ridge is where like the cameras are and has like a little like latchy thing. Whereas
yeah,
I don't
that
know
seems if, like it might keep junk from falling in between, like you were talking about.
Yeah, which I don't know. I'm not super sure if the Samsung one has that too. It seems like both of these companies that were demoing these were being like really cagey about like letting people like get too close to them or like get them in their own hands, which which makes me wonder like if, you know, if there's a certain way you kind of like need to treat them and open them and stuff like that, so screen doesn't just get like super messed up.
Yeah.
Because like any way you think about it, like that's like a major stress point of the whole device, right? If you're just like constantly folding and unfolding something, particularly if it's like the screen.
I'm not eager to rush out and get one, but I do think it's cool, and I feel like that's the way the future is heading. And I'm gonna personally wait until there's slap bracelet phones for me to get in on any of this.
I think it's cool though. It's just like, it seems really neat to kind of like combine the best of both worlds, because like when it's open, it's almost like the screen size of like an iPad mini.
Right.
Or a little bit bigger, I guess, even.
Yeah.
And then when it's closed, it's like, oh, cool, a phone you can hold with like one hand, which.
Right.
That seems pretty neat, but I don't know. Like, so where I stand with these is like, I don't really want to buy one until like mobile technology settles down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, well, like, so for instance, like my, and I think it would kind of, I've kind of mentioned this before, but like my PC that I use, most of its guts are from like 2013, like the processor, right, and motherboard and all that shit. And like desktop PC hardware just is kind of like mellowed out to the point where it's like, yeah, my computer's not super fast anymore, but it's fine.
But you're missing out on all the RGB lights.
Well, I guess, but, my point is that like mobile stuff, it seems like every year you're still seeing these like, oh shit, this phone's like five times as fast as last year's phone and stuff like that. And I just kind of like, I'd like to hit a point where, I mean, cause like even with the iPhone now, like as good of a job as Apple does with, making sure that, you know, iOS can run like all the way down to like, what is it? iOS 12 supports what, like the iPhone SE and 7?
6
right,
or something.
That.
Yeah. It goes back pretty far.
I mean, that's cool. But like, you know, if you watch someone use one of those old phones and compare it to like a new phone, it's like the experience is like just objectively bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it would be nice to, I mean, like, I guess I don't, I mean, $2,000 seems like a lot to spend on a phone.
Yeah.
But if it's something that, you know, like your computer, it's like, all right, well, I can just keep this and use it for like 4 years and it's, you know, fine. And
right.
Then that becomes a lot easier to, kind of deal with, I think.
Right.
As opposed to like, oh, let me go out and spend $2,000 on the Galaxy Fold, and then like next year oh, this thing's a piece of shit now.
You start getting people building their software to take advantage of only all the most powerful stuff too, you know what I mean? And so it's not like being built to run on that older stuff like a lot of like computer software can be.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's very interesting to me. Honestly, like, so these two phones are cool, but the phone that I actually was most excited about, as weird as it sounds, is this Energizer phone.
Right.
That, like, so if you haven't seen a picture of this, like, just imagine like an iPhone or like Android phone, except, well, so imagine a smartphone plus an external battery that's like the size of the smartphone
combined,
but those things just like in one device.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know. I really like this because I feel like for the longest time, and admittedly, this is kind of like an absurd extreme on the end of it, because it's like, it doesn't say how thick it is. It's a big dog. 18 millimeters thick. So for the sake of reference, a Galaxy S10 is 7.8 millimeters thick, and I think the iPhone 10 is, you know, within a point one millimeter either direction. I don't remember.
So it's like 2.5 times an iPhone.
Yeah, which but you know, like, so here's the thing: it's got 18,000 milliamp hour battery in it that they say, I want to say I read that it's like good for like a week of use.
Yeah, it's something like 48 hours if you're watching a movie, and like standby time is like 3 weeks or something crazy.
Which honestly, like, I think is like, this is a crazy extreme, but like something that pushes a bit more towards this, I would be like,
is that any weirder than in your pocket you have your iPhone and then you have a little power brick that it's connected to? You know what I mean?
I mean,
like, it's not that different.
Better solution. But I mean, I guess like what I would like to eventually see is like mobile technology settling into a point where it's like you don't need to buy the new phone every year or two or even three. And they kind of get over this like obsession with thickness and are just like, all right, cool. Well, let's make this phone maybe like 12 millimeters thick and give it a battery that can like do 3 days of standby.
Right.
Or something like that. Like, I would be
Somewhere in the middle of where we're at now, and that thing I think would be fine.
Yeah, I would be very happy with that, because like I don't know, I don't need a super thin phone, and it's super stupid because like everyone now, like, you know, the smartphone manufacturers, by making these phones so slim, have basically like given companies like Anker and Mophie and created a market out of a dumb design that wouldn't have existed otherwise if these phones just like got decent battery life.
Right.
Which is kind of weird how normal that's. I mean, like, think of like how often are you at a bar like late at night, and there's like half a dozen people at the bar that like all have their phone plugged into a battery pack.
Yeah.
You know, or like pestering the bartender to like charge their shit or.
Yeah. Or like, you know, outlets, USB outlets built into every like seat in any, you know, mall or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a normal thing that we have to charge our phones all the time.
Yeah. So those are, I guess, three cool phones that are kind of worth, worth looking at, even if you don't really follow the Android world, because I think it's just interesting to kind of talk about those, because if any of those things like start getting any form of traction in the market, like, it's reasonable to think that, like, you know, maybe Apple could do a foldable phone, or maybe Apple add more batteries to their phone, or because they're not going to, like, if the Samsung Galaxy Fold or the Huawei Mate X or whatever, like, if those just explode in popularity, and that's like what people want now, like, it's inevitable that Apple's going to follow suit. I mean, like, they can't ignore a trend like that, particularly if people are like, oh, this is the shit, this is the new thing I want.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just I guess a couple of years from now, you can look back at this and be like, oh, yeah, those guys were totally spot on. Or like, oh, yeah, Apple didn't do shit, and that fad just kind of went away. So I don't know. I don't know what way that'll go right now. So in general, iOS gaming news for the week, here's your recap of things you should probably be aware of. We've talked about Rockstar updating their older games to support newer devices and all that stuff. So Bully Anniversary Edition is the latest game that has gotten the iPhone 10 update treatment. So
yeah, and the exciting part about this is that it was only a couple of weeks ago that Vice City got updated. So if you remember, we talked about then, you know, the timeline of these things has been months in between updates. And so after Vice City, I was sort of like, okay, well, later this year will be another one, or maybe two. So to see one a few weeks later is pretty exciting, because I think that might mean that the rest will follow even quicker. Or maybe it's just a fluke and they have, you know, a couple different little teams doing these updates or something. I don't really know. But Bully was one of the ones I was really holding out would get this sort of update. So
yeah, I think that Bully is, I might have kind of said this in the review for it, like, I think that Bully is the, like, forgotten rock star game.
Kind of, yeah.
Right, because, like, it came out at a weird time where, like, everyone is all about, like, Grand Theft. Like, I feel like it didn't, I don't know, I need to check the timeline, but it came out, like, not long after, like, a big release, right? Like, San Andreas or one of those other games, or maybe it was, like, just before. I don't know, like, whatever. Because I personally remember being like, oh, Bully, that looks cool. But, like, I don't know. Like, I just got Grand Theft Auto, or, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto is coming out soon. Like, I'll just wait for that kind of thing.
Well, it released either just before or just after the 360, if I remember right. And then, so that was kind of like, it was a late PS2 era game.
Right.
That was, and then they did re-release it on the 360 sometime later. But I think by that point, Grand Theft Auto 4 might have been out or coming out soon or whatever, so it kind of got forgotten. But you're right, it's sort of like the cult hit Rockstar game.
Yeah, it's really good. It's basically Grand Theft Auto without cars, I guess. You play as like a bully in kind of a similar sort of like open world kind of thing, but the open world is like your school campus more or less, and you just cause mayhem.
Yeah, I love that this is like, you know, all the Grand Theft Auto games, it's like, hey, whatever, like from the very beginning, you can just run around and do whatever you want. You can kill people or steal cars or do whatever. And it's sort of just giving you this free reign. And Bully's kind of cool because it sort of forces you into a schedule, because you have to go to school. And because you're a minor, you can't stay out past a certain time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to go to your classes and try and get good grades and junk like that. Like, I like that there's sort of a structure that you have to adhere to. And I think it does a good job of sort of simulating like being a school student.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of fun.
It's a similar kind of notion to what was that? A prison architect or prison?
Yeah, yeah.
The escapists or?
Escapists, yeah.
Yeah, so similar kind of vibe to that, where it's like, in the escapist games, it's like, all right, you need to figure out how to get out, but also like play the part of an inmate kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So Bully's pretty similar, pretty good. We're checking out. If you're into tiny build games, their game that's just titled Speedrunners, which seems super generic.
They the actual mobile title is Speedrunners Online PvP.
Okay.
Yeah.
all right. Well, so it's headed to mobile and they're looking for beta testers. If you are one of those people that really likes when Tiny Build brings their Steam games over to mobile.
It's interesting because this is one of the games that put them sort of on the map as a company, and was really popular for like a year or two. But it also kind of kicked off a trend of like multiplayer racing platform games.
Oh, is this the game that started that?
Yeah. Huh. And I always wondered why it wasn't coming to mobile, since Tiny Build was putting other stuff on mobile. And I always thought like this would be a super perfect fit. So it's weird that it's taken them this long to finally do this. But I think this will be kind of like the coolest version of one of those multiplayer platformers.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of makes you wonder like if they didn't actually like really fuck up by not releasing this way earlier, because like,
yeah,
how many of these multiplayer side-scrolling like running games with free-to-play mechanics and power-ups have we seen like glued to the charts, and then you know, like, I don't know. So I guess it'll be unfortunate if this comes out and everyone's like, I already played one of those, I don't care.
It could be, yeah,
which I guess we'll see. So Nintendo had a big week this week, aside from announcing those two new Pokemon games, Pokemon Sword and Shield, which are coming to the Switch. Dragalia Lost is now finally available in other territories, such as UK, Australia, Canada, Singapore, New Zealand. I think there's a few other ones too. So yeah, if you are one of the people that were always kind of bummed that this game wasn't available in your country, because they do a really weird launch with this. It was like Japan, US, and then that was like it for months.
It seems
with
like
a few other small territories that I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game's really good. If you haven't played it yet because it wasn't in your region, it's basically just like a really good implementation of a one finger controlled action RPG.
Yeah.
That has like all the Nintendo polish on top of it and stuff.
It is really, really polished. It's really fun too. Like the gameplay is actually really fun, but I just couldn't do the whole free to play thing again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that was kind of the thing is like this game, as good as it is, hits you pretty quickly with like the stereotypical like free to play gotcha menu.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, here's how you combine characters, here's how you roll for new ones, here's how you combine gems or whatever the fuck into whatever things you get to upgrade. And
yeah,
I don't know, we both have like major fatigue when it comes to those sort of things, it seems like. So
but a lot of people really love this game and feel like it's a pretty fair free to play game.
Yeah,
but what kills me is that I love the control scheme and the one-handed play and all that stuff. And I feel like if this was like Diablo mobile, like played like that, I would be so excited.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. We'll see on that. Yeah. But yeah, so if you aren't like us and don't hammer your way through like every game that gets released and have seen this like gotcha menu system 10 million times, there's a chance you'll download this and be like, oh, hey, this collecting character thing is kind of cool. I like this. So probably have a bit of a stilted view on that, but whatever. Also speaking of Nintendo, the Nintendo DS RPG Mystery Dungeon Shirin the Wanderer is coming to iOS and Android, but just Japan, it seems like, so far, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think there's any mention of an English release, but I don't know. This is, again, one of those JRPG series that I've only ever seen people talk about on Twitter and or other similar places and know that it's good. And I don't know. So I guess if you're excited for that sort of thing, that's another thing to be aware of. Stardew Valley folks that have Android devices and are mad that it's only on iOS so far will be happy to know that Stardew Valley for Android is coming out on March 14th. And it'll be $8, just like the iOS version.
Sweet.
I guess it supports the save transfer stuff as well, just like iOS does. And the people that have done this port is just outstanding. Like, if you haven't played Stardew Valley, you need to think about the decisions you've made in your life that led you to not playing one of the best farming games I think I've ever played.
Word.
Just beware, it's gonna take over your life. Have you revisited it on your Switch at all since you got burnt out on it?
Mm-mm, no, I've been meaning to, but so many other games.
Yeah, I like every once in a while I'm like, oh man, I should go back to Stardew Valley. Then like I load my farm and I'm just like, man, I don't even remember like what I was working towards.
Well, it sucks too because you get to a point where you're like, okay, I've got this really great economy down where I'm growing this particular thing and selling it and blah 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 blah, and I just forget all that stuff. So
exactly.
I sort of have to just like do a real big refresh. But I'd like to keep continuing that game that I'm on. I'm like, you know, I beat like all the main stuff in the game, but I know there's still some like, you know, smaller achievement things to go for that I don't want to really start a brand new game over for.
Yeah. Well, I was like, last time I was seriously looking at this, like going through the Switch games, being like, oh, what should I play? I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just start a new farm in Stardew Valley. And then I looked and I was like, man, I'm like 120 hours into the farm that I have now.
Yeah, it's hard to give up.
Which kind of sucks. So I don't know. But very, very, very good game. If you've never played it, highly worth checking out. So Radiant One's new episode, The Secret, is now available. If you are into the Radiant One series, you should check this out.
We actually have a review I need to post. I'll post that today, so by the time the podcast is up, it should be up. But a review for this second episode here.
Yeah. So cool game. I guess primary complaints in the review was what, like the weird kind of payment system.
It's a little weird. Like it originally started. It was a paid game when it released last year, and there was no indication it was going to be episodic. And so what they've done is changed it to free to play and added the ability to add new episodes, pretty much unrelated to the original one. And so if you had bought the game when it was paid, you actually get episode one now, which was just the original game. You have the same game you've always had. Plus they give you sort of bonus access to this second episode. And then any future episodes you'll have to buy either via subscription or you can buy them outright as IAP packs or whatever.
Yeah, so there's...
Or you can play through, I think you can play through them free by like watching ads and junk too, but I haven't really investigated that.
Yeah, so the full episodes are $6. There's a limited time bundle that I don't know if this is expired or not yet, but $5 for...
I think it's limited based on when you open the app. I think you have like 24 hours or something like that.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's $3 a month to get everything.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. It seems like a strange value proposition.
Well, I think the subscription is the way to go because it's cheapest and you're paying $3 for each new episode, which they release monthly. And right now, I think they have episodes set to go through like May or June. So, I mean, there's several more that are going to be coming. But once they run out, it's like, why do you still subscribe to this thing? Or what happens if you cancel your subscription? Can you not play those games anymore or what?
Right.
And so I'm glad they at least added sort of a way to buy the episodes like a normal episodic game, because at least you can like restore that stuff and know you have the episode. But it's a little more money, but I feel like that's worth it.
Yeah. So on March 11th, Cartoon Network is bringing a game called Cartoon Network Arcade to the App Store, which kind of like a bunch of like weird little mobile style mini games that are just in like one collection instead of a bunch of individual ones.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. It seems neat.
It's going to do some weird AR, or maybe not AR, I don't know what to call it, but like, you know, you'll be able to scan like an episode if you're watching live and it'll like unlock special stuff for you, and then they'll run events inside the app that coincide with stuff that's happening on the shows as they're running live too, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah,
so it's sort of like an interactive viewing experience thing coupled with a bunch of mini games.
That's neat. Yeah, I always thought that was really cool when what was that, Game of Thrones Ascent, I think it was, would like update shit in real time with the HBO show and stuff. I always thought that was neat, but so yeah, I guess if you're a kid that sits around all day and watches cartoons, now you can play a game on your phone while you do that. So if you haven't played Animal Crossing Pocket Camp in a while, they've added the Happy Home Academy, which I guess if you never played Animal Crossing, was this a new thing they added in the 3DS one, or was it always in there?
I think it was a separate game on 3DS.
No. The Happy Home Academy that like graded your stuff. And...
Oh yeah, I think they added that as an update, but that was, I never went back after that update. I hadn't played it.
Yeah, I don't know. So they added a bunch of elements from the Happy Home Academy game, and it's pretty cool. Again, like I kind of, the Animal Crossing game to me makes me feel a lot like Pokemon Go, where like I wish that they would have had all this shit in it when it launched,
right?
Instead of it just being like super boring. You kind of like hit your cap of like what there is to do really quickly, and then you're just like, all right, well, I don't really care about the rest of this. Then like a, you know, tiny little update came out that added like almost nothing, and I just got bored of it. So like, I don't know,
same with me.
So if you haven't played it in a while, maybe it's worth checking out, maybe not, I don't know. So amongst all the drama that has been surrounding Activision Blizzard lately, there's actually some good stuff coming out, and that they've announced the new Hearthstone card rotation, which is Year of the Dragon, which seems pretty neat. It seems like Hearthstone is in sort of a weird spot right now where, and I don't know if it's just because the game's getting old or because, you know, like a lot of the key players kind of moved on, or, you know, what the deal is, but it definitely seems like it's not as popular as it used to be anymore. Like when you used to go on Twitch, like the big Hearthstone streamers would be commanding like 20,000 plus viewers like all the time. Yeah. And now like the big Hearthstone streamers have moved on to other stuff. And like when the people that stuck around are like commanding like 3,000 to 4,000 viewers, I have no idea how that actually translates to players or whatever, but, but I don't know. So, they're actually adding more single player content, which I really would be curious to see if like when they look at the analytics of the game, if it isn't like, all right, yeah, every time we release a new expansion, people come in and like play the shit out of the free single player mode, and then just bounce until, because that's kind of described me. Like I've had a hard time keeping up with like the Hearthstone cards and stuff like that, but you know, always go through and play like the single player stuff when they add it. So
right.
Looks like they're kind of like adding more of that stuff, which is a good thing because I find that to be the best part about Hearthstone. So, more information is going to be revealed soon. I guess they're tweaking a bunch of cards, sending a lot of cards to the Hall of Fame, so you can't use them in Standard anymore, and you know all the normal stuff that goes along with a new card rotation with Hearthstone. So Super Stickman Golf, Golf Blitz from Noodle Cake, which is their kind of like spin on Super Stickman Golf, is soft launched in Canada, right?
Canada.
What's the other ones? I think there were some other regions too. I think the normal
Australia, New Zealand, maybe.
The normal, yeah, Canada, Germany, Ireland, and South Korea.
Sure, if you know your flags.
So yeah, I don't know. I meant to give this game a go before we recorded, but I didn't have time. I don't know. Noodle Cake always makes good shit, so this seems worth getting excited over. I have on my to-do list to download the soft launch, so I don't know much about it beyond that. Let's see. So GameVice has deeply discounted their iOS game controller, which usually costs $80, down to $50 on Amazon for the Fortnite Season 8 stuff. So if you don't have an MFI controller and you like the idea of the GameVice kind of like clippy Switch style controller setup, $50, pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. That's worth grabbing.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the more kind of like standalone controller things myself, but I mean, you can't go wrong with any of these MFI things, particularly if you're playing a game like Fortnite, which is like just exponentially better when you're playing with, you know, normal real controls.
Right.
Let's see here. I need to stop bumping my stupid thing. So, all right. let's see. So, Cultist Simulator from Playdigious got announced as coming to iOS and Android this spring. Pre-registration's now available, and you can get in on that. This was a game that I actually never heard of. Because like Playdigious like tweeted this was coming, and I was like, oh, that's neat. Is this a big deal? And then like people started like losing their minds.
Yeah.
Over it. So.
It's one of those games I've heard of for a long time and never played myself because it's never been on mobile.
Yeah.
But it seems like it would play perfectly there.
It looks like it's like a single player kind of card game thing where you're...
Yeah, I think like a narrative sort of card game.
Which seems pretty neat. I mean, card games have always worked really well on iOS, so...
Yeah.
I don't know why they wouldn't work well with this, so...
Yeah.
People seem excited anyway. So if you like Pigeon Wings, which was one of the better games that came out, when did that come out? 2015?
2016?
17. Really good, just kind of like side-scrolly flying game. They are releasing a game called Pigeon Wings Strike, which is, this is like a free-to-play sort of multiplayer thing, right?
I think it's more or less just a really fleshed out endless version because the original Pigeon Wings was actually level based and they added like an endless mode to it, but it was really just kind of basic. So I think what they're doing is taking all the ideas they've come up with for an endless version and then releasing it as its own game with, you know, new unlockable characters and ship parts and levels and blah, 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 all the good stuff.
I was kind of like when I read the email about this, I was kind of like almost surprised. I was like, wait, that wasn't how the original Pigeon Strike was built.
Yeah.
Because like that, the way that they're laying this one out just seems like it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah, no, it was actually a full blown, it was more of a, like a racing game.
Yeah.
And it was level based with pre-designed levels and stuff. But I think a lot of people had wondered like why there wasn't an endless mode when most games like this are endless. And so they added one, but I don't think they were able to add everything they, you know, envisioned.
Yeah, it almost seemed weird in a way. I remember the release where it was like it being like they created like really good levels, but it being level based like almost seemed like a disadvantage to them, which is such a strange thing when like you would think that people would like handmade levels instead of just like some algorithm you're just constantly mashing.
I think a certain amount of people got really hooked on trying to beat other people's times and stuff like that, and that's one of the benefits of not just a randomly generated endless thing. But I think it's cool to also have like a more fleshed out endless version of that gameplay.
Right. Yeah. So that is coming soon, next week.
March. It says somewhere, and I think it's up for pre-order even. So, yeah, it's coming soon though.
But they're looking for beta testers. If you want to play it early, just look at the thread on our forums or hit the developers up on Twitter or whatever. So this is actually reading from a sponsored content story, which is one of those things where it was like, oh, all right, yeah, I'll write about this, I guess. And then I played it and I was like, oh, actually, this is pretty fucking good. And all right. So NetEase, I guess, had released this game in China quite a while ago, but it was never available in English, called Life After, which just recently got a U.S. release with like full English localization and all that stuff. And this game is shockingly cool. Like, it was not what I was expecting. Because it's like such a weird like mishmash of like game mechanics and other games and things like that, that I just like, I don't know. It's weird how much you can do in this game. So I guess at its core, like Life After is a narrative driven kind of sort of open world zombie game, which by itself would be cool enough. But then there's this like, and almost like from that extent, like it almost sort of reminds me if like Gameloft was going to make like a Walking Dead game, you know, because it's like kind of like just generic zombies and, you know, generic universe and stuff. But like it all kind of goes together really well and works on mobile and, you know, like whatever. But what makes this game like particularly interesting is that it's got this entire like crafting system. So it's like if you like take like an open world sort of zombie adventure game and then add in like elements from Minecraft and like elements from Fortnite, because you can not only like gather resources to like build like tools and weapons and shit like that, but you can also like use those resources to build up like bases and stuff, which is pretty neat. And it controls like player movement, not like the whole inventory stuff, like works a lot like their game Knives Out. Okay. So like if you have played that, which an awful lot of people have because it's super popular, you can basically just like hop right into this. Like it feels very similar and stuff. I don't know, it's just really neat. It's got what I like about it too, the zombies aren't like Walking Dead kind of like slow, boring zombies. They're like fast moving, kind of more like Valve's Left 4 Dead zombies. And there's like these huge like mutated zombie bosses. And you also
do you play with other people online?
Well, so I'm still what feels like in the tutorial thing. It seems like you can play co-op with other people, but I don't know yet if there's other people that are like in the actual game world with you,
right?
Or if it's just kind of like a co-op game. Because like there's definitely like mentions of like, oh, you got to be, you know, be careful because like not every human you run into is going to be friendly, which I'm not sure yet if that kind of means kind of like how it's sort of like the Walking Dead universe where like most of the other humans you run into are actually more threatening than the zombies.
Yeah.
And that's like how the story of the game goes. Or if you are eventually in like an open world with a bunch of other players and zombies and doing all this crafting shit and everything else. So not super sure on that. I was just like very pleasantly surprised with what I've played so far.
Yeah. You've actually piqued my interest from going to something I wasn't going to download to something I'll check out now.
Yeah. I mean, like it's kind of weird because like, for the longest time, it sort of seemed like when we would see a game, like from a Chinese developer, like get released in the United States, it's almost always like, okay, this game is just going to be bad. Or, you know, like it's not going to be appropriately localized for like what American players like. Like, you know, if the game is good, it'll be like ultra, ultra, ultra grindy or other stuff. Whereas like, it seems like recently, like NetEase has been on like a pretty good streak of releasing stuff that's just like, you know, genuinely good to the Western market as well. Which I don't know if that's because like they've got like a new person in charge that like knows what sort of shit to bring over and how those games should play, or if they've just kind of like shifted how all their stuff is across the board. So I don't know, but either way, Life After. Free to play, free to try out. Like, I'm curious to see like when they start turning the screws on you as far as like the free to play stuff, because like of what I've played so far, it's like fine. You know, like there's a weird in-game store that sells like just random like currency junk, it seems like, but I don't know like if you ever hit a point where it's like, oh god, I need gems to proceed, or however the hell it works out. And cool thing, start of the game, you get a dog. That's just your animal companion that you just
definitely kinda, downloading now.
You name, and he kind of helps you out and follows you around and kind of finds stuff that you might have missed on the ground. And
well, that's great then.
Pretty cool.
Why did you see it in the first place?
Yeah, I should have let off with that, huh? So if you're still playing Marvel Contest of Champions, it's getting a, well, I guess I think it actually already has a entire dump truck full of Captain Marvel stuff that's been just funneled into the game. So
yeah, I kind of mentioned this when this our writer was pitching, talking about this, is that you know, I used to be hardcore Contest of Champions addict and then gave it up a couple years ago or whatever. But I still get, you know, lots of emails about it. And it seems like it used to be like a big event, like, oh my God, a new character's being added. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now it just seems like they rapid fire add new characters every single week. And so it's gotten like to the point where I'll get those emails and be like, I don't even really see the point in writing about this because there's going to be another new character next week or whatever. So I guess because it's Captain Marvel and the movie's coming out and stuff like that, this makes it a little more exciting. But I always have kind of wondered in the back of my mind if a lot of their player base has dropped off, kind of similar to how I got just really fatigued with everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're kind of just trying to maintain the user base they have, which is adding this so much new content or whatever, new characters.
Well, even so, like when you add, it seems like the early, and this is the problem that all these like character collector games sort of fall into. Like in the early game, mm-hmm. when there's like, I don't know, like 30 characters or whatever, like adding one more is like, oh holy shit, like that's really awesome, like I got to work towards this new guy.
Right.
When you've got a roster of like 300 characters,
yeah,
adding one more is like, all right, I don't need Captain Marvel, I already got like 10 five star dudes or however many stars is the top end now.
Well, that was the killer thing too, that's what got me to leave the game, is when they introduced, I don't remember if it was five star or six star, but they basically added another star tier.
Yeah, I think it was six star.
Killed everything. I was like, dude, I do not have the patience looking at what the requirements were to kind of upgrade my five star people to six or whatever it was. I'm just like, dude, I've put so much time and effort into like really maxing out my roster, and you know, I had really good high level characters and stuff, and it just felt like that all got wiped out, and I was almost like starting over again in a way. So that ended up becoming a big turnoff to me. Although I think to the hardcore players, that's a good thing to them because it gives them more things to shoot for or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you're capped out and unlocked all your stuff, like a new thing to work towards is cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you don't see like a massive drop off when, you know, just like you were saying, like when it's like you've got a roster and you're like, all right, man, I got like a really awesome team of five star guys.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, guess what? All those dudes suck now because like there's six star dudes now that people are cracking open in packs. And
well, the other killer thing is like what you need to do to like advance and upgrade characters and get all the right, you know, appropriate shards or gems or whatever. A lot of it is like, you know, day by day sort of stuff. So you can kind of beat all the challenges for a day, collect what you can, but then you got to wait till the next day to get like more. And so it's reasonable to think that like a week's time from one new character to the next is not even close to enough time to even unlock the first one. You know what I mean? Already you're getting another one. And it just seems like it would be overwhelming if I was still in that game. But
yeah, I mean, that just seems like transparent that they just basically expect you to pay money.
Yeah.
Or play for eternity, which I guess is just as good. So the last news story I've got is something that we just posted before we started recording. Bethesda has announced a closed beta for Elder Scrolls Blades, and there's going to be an early access launch this spring, which is cool.
Yeah, so these are two different things, actually, which I think they needed to feel like they needed to clarify. But the closed beta is something they're going to start soon, and it's going to be, you know, under NDA. It's going to be a secretive closed thing, and they're going to pick participants for that based on who is actually signed up for the early access through the official website or whatever, which that went live at E3 last year. Mm-hmm. So if you were among the first to kind of sign up for that early access thing through the website, then you might be in the pool of people they're going to pick from. And they also said they're going to pick based on who has what devices and what kind of devices they need to test for too. So that can play into it. But the pre-order page for this still says March 31st. And so in my mind, this kind of tells me that they're going to roll out this closed beta like really quickly in the next like week or two. And then, you know, have people play through. They said the closed beta will be the full game, and then provide like feedback or any problems and stuff like that. And then I think they're still going to shoot for launching it around the end of March. And they're calling it an early access launch. And I think that's sort of a CYA for if there's any problems after it comes out or whatever, given what's happened with them in Fallout 76.
Yeah.
So it's weird because, like, on Google Play, there's actual early access, you know, kind of like Steam. Like, you can release a game that's not actually officially released. You can't do that on iOS. You have to use, like, Test Flight and stuff like that.
Right.
And so, you know, in their little FAQ they posted today, they're basically like, yeah, the early access will be open to all on iOS and Android. So that, to me, says they're going to release the game like a normal game, but just call it early access. And if there's bugs and junk, they're going to be like, well, it's early access, so we're fixing them.
Yeah, so. It wouldn't surprise me if this, like, is just effectively a normal release on the App Store, but because they've been featured on an Apple keynote and stuff, they're able to play like Inside Baseball with Apple, being like, okay, like, give us a couple of weeks, like, let's make sure there's no fucking server problems or anything else, and then right. start featuring us, and we'll say we launched and
all the official out. Launch. Or
yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm still surprised that this didn't launch like when it was shown off at that keynote last year.
Yeah, I think in the grand scheme of things, like, I think Fallout 76's launch had a lot to do with that. But I also think that they would have been fine if they had launched it, you know, right after the keynote. And even if it did have problems, I don't think they would, like, lose people. I think they could have been continuously updating it and effectively doing, like, what they're saying they're doing and have it be, like, an early access sort of thing where they're kind of, like, still shaping and fixing things. Up until this point, because all they're really doing is pissing people off when they announce anything about this game now. Yeah. When it went from being something cool that people are seemingly excited for, even though it's like a mobile game, to something that now everyone's just like, I don't even care anymore.
Right.
So, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember when this showed up at the Apple keynote, like, I started writing a story like it was just released.
It's because
I thought they were going to do... I think like Epic Citadel did that, right?
Yeah,
they did that before with Fallout Shelter during their own E3 thing, and
Monument Valley 2 launched during an Apple keynote too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens with this. We played the E3 demo, and of what we played, it seemed, you know, pretty cool. I think people will be happy with it. It's just
I think it'll be fun. My main gripe was I thought the combat was not very fun, but that's normal Elder Scrolls games too. So
yeah,
I don't know. The world exploring and stuff seemed pretty awesome. Dungeon crawling, all that good stuff seemed good. So I'm still excited for it, no matter how much they delay it. But I just wish they would kind of figure out their plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, that's a recap of everything you might have missed this week if you're not glued to TouchArcade.com. I've got birthday stuff to do today. I'm going to sit in traffic waiting to get down to the heart of Chicago, which is always awesome to do on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, I guess. So let's put this podcast to bed so thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Touch Arcade Show. If you like this podcast, like the stuff we do, we'd appreciate it if you'd back us on Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. If you're not into that, but do shopping on Amazon, if you could do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon, we'd really appreciate it. And if you want to come hang out with us on Discord, you can do that by going to discord.gg/toucharcade. It's a cool place to chill, mm-hmm. good place to find out about a lot of iOS stuff like as it's happening and all that stuff. So thanks a ton for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.